Welcome to the Mind Virus Podcast.
What?
Well, we promised we'd be back last week, and here we are.
Here we are. We promised. We were worried about the Israel-Iran thing, right?
Right.
And then it turns out that Israel just fired off a bunch of rockets and hit nothing, and Iran laughed, and they laughed, and it turned out it was all for show. Is that kind of what it looked like?
I guess.
That's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's better than blowing the whole world up.
I'm not complaining.
Right.
But it seems like it was a lot of bluster. Like, Iran is probably pretty aware of the missile defenses. So they fired off a bunch of stuff. Knowing it would waste a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Israel kind of made a half-hearted punch back. It's what it sounded like. Nobody.
And then the United States.
They were both satisfied.
Send everybody more money.
Oh, yeah. The Congress voted for Ukraine and Israel to get more funding and zero for the border.
Mm-hmm.
And they also passed that FISA renewal, expanding the Contra Fourth Amendment surveillance against Americans.
Right. I apologize.
You still have a cough?
This ridiculous cough.
You taking any ivermectin?
I don't have any.
You can get it at IFA.
That's true.
Or Cal Ranch. It's like a package with a horse on it.
Yeah. It's horse medicine, right?
You can probably get it from your doctor. I don't know. So you're just having fun with the spring pollen and dust and whatnot? Do you normally get... Like,
sometimes I'll get a cold and it just lingers like this.
In the spring, a lot of years, yeah. I'll get allergy-induced bronchitis or something like that, a cough.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
You remember that?
No, I don't. What's that from?
Well, it's one of those news interviews. Few years ago that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
There was an apartment fire or something, and a woman was being interviewed, and
mm-hmm.
there was smoke. And
oh, and the smoke aggravated her bronchitis.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well,
you're not wrong.
When you're working for a living. Well, it is nice that, you know, we're not into World War III openly just yet. Maybe you can plan that summer vacation. You can, no, here you go.
Maybe without electricity for some time. Red Cross is assisting displaced families. One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up, go give me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's great. That's epic. That's awesome.
Got up to get me a cold pop.
And she's a friend of Jesus, it sounds like, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a friend in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are we talking about today?
If there's no,
we're still on the air and there's no World War III. I think maybe we were just subconsciously hoping that we'd get off this week.
Yeah, the world would end.
Or that we could like broadcast from a real bunker.
Oh, no. Speaking of bunkers and stuff, I'll reply to Dimitri left a comment about Fallout 4.
Mm.
He's been trying it out and he says the learning curve's a little iffy, and I agree, like, if you've ever played a Bethesda game, which he's played Skyrim, so that kind of helps, but they're kind of janky at times, but I'm glad he's enjoying it.
Oh, we did get some comments on games, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
TBM chimed in, Publius chimed in, and Dimitri, who we haven't heard from, Dimitri. We haven't heard from him in a long time. He did say this.
P.S. Regarding Stuxnet, it was rather that Iran was the target, not the attacker. This worm targeted the systems controlling centrifuges that were used in Iran's nuclear program. By varying the rotation speeds of the centrifuges, the malware was able to physically damage them.
That was Dimitri's commentary on okay. Stuxnet, because I think I said something like that maybe Stuxnet was Iran attacking the United States. Mm. But there had been some cyber attacks on public infrastructure in the U.S., if I remember right. Dimitri, please chime in, straighten us out, because we ain't got time to figure out the details on stuff like that. But thanks for coming back and making a comment. And Publius and TBM also. Haven't heard from I Play the Radio in a long time. Hope he's doing okay. But yeah, the video game conversation.
Right.
Like I said, I was playing a lot of video games, and I finished the game I was playing this week. At least I finished the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which one was that?
I was playing BattleTech.
Okay,
it's about 6 years old.
And it's got a campaign story mode.
It's like Pacific Rim without the monsters.
Uh huh.
And you fight other big, giant, massive humanoid machines that, mm-hmm. that are piloted by people called mechs, battle mechs.
All right.
And so I finished I'm trying to figure out if I just played it wrong, because I thought the story was going to go on further. So I like got way over prepared for the final battle and just killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was awarded an awesome machine from the person. This is a spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
But now the story's over, but I can continue to be a mercenary with no story. So now I've got better equipment to go out and destroy the bad guys. And I can take missions. So the map, it has like a map of star systems you can travel to, and they give you contracts. And the map was all closed off, certain areas of it, until I won the final battle. And now I've got this new mech, but no story. So I can just go out and travel to these other systems and get all the cool stuff. But there's no story accompanying it. I can just destroy the enemy mechs ad nauseum if I want.
Right.
So I think maybe they want you to buy the downloadable content, like
we call them
the expansion packs.
Of course they do. That's why they create them.
So I guess I'm feeling a little bit conflicted, like, what now? And I'm going to have to wait while they go on sale or something.
Mm-hmm.
On Steam, because it was fun, but not fun enough to pony up tons of money.
Yeah,
it was fun enough to pony up 30% of full price, which is what I think their sale is going to be. So anyway, I'm not like I said last time, I haven't been into video games for a long, long time, and I got into this one because it was kind of nostalgic, right? This is a tabletop. It's developed from a tabletop game, mm-hmm. kind of sci-fi D&D type of a thing, focused on just destroying, blowing other people's stuff up, and which makes it fun for me. And my brother and I used to play that when we were a kid. Well, at least we would imagine about it. I don't think we ever were patient enough to really go through the game mechanics, because if you got to go through the game mechanics, you almost have to have a computer do that. It's just so slow. And roll the dice. Oh, you hit the left torso with X amount of damage, and there was a critical hit on the auto cannon. So calculate out how much damage and what your next percentage roll is going to be. Yeah, that we didn't play very much because it takes so much time. But when you've got the computer doing it and you can watch these guys in 3D destroy each other,
that's kind of fun.
Yeah. So
That's what Baldur's Gate 3 is. It's literally the D&D rule set. And you actually roll dice in the game, in the computer game.
Hmm. So you have to click the button for it to roll the dice?
You do. But then you get to control. You'll do that for like perception checks and things like that.
Oh, okay, but not for like the battle?
The battle is, yeah, it's turn-based.
Yeah, because if you had to do that for the battle, that would get really tedious.
Right. What,
I turned off a lot of the cameras in BattleTech. It was great because it had all this 3D action. And I'm realizing now that was half of the fun. I was like trying to get through the storyline to get bigger mm-hmm. and better stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had it all figured out. Like, here's my strategy. Here's the best position of the camera to see everything. And I don't want it to keep zooming in and showing me all these action shots like replays in a football game.
Right.
But towards the end, I was like, you know, this is kind of fun. If I do this to this guy, I want to zoom in and see what happens to the whole, that guy just got destroyed. Let's watch that in real time. So it's cool. The visual aspect of it is fun. It's fun to see the different models. They have all the different machines modeled out so you can see what they look like. And when their arm gets blown off or their leg gets blown off, it's gone. They're walking around without an arm. They fall down. They get back up. I know. It sounds kind of basic, but for some reason, it was very satisfying.
There's a reason.
For a while.
There's a reason that video games are the number one source of entertainment.
Number one drug of choice.
Right. So, yeah, what else is going on?
Well, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. Well, now that I've conquered the bad guys and have an undefeatable lance of mechs.
Well, there's other
maxed out.
There's
mech
other
warriors.
Games, you know. There's always another game.
It's kind of like committing to watch a TV show. It's right. Easy to commit to watch a movie because it's a 2-hour commitment. But if you like commit to watch all 17 and a half seasons of Breaking Bad or something, what was that? 24 seasons? 85 seasons? I don't know.
I think Breaking Bad.
I watched that a while back.
Like five, right?
Yeah, it's not that long, but
getting
like
some
of them, they're like 9 seasons.
Playing a new computer game is sort of like entering into a relationship. Like it's not a 2-hour thing.
No.
You look at it and go, "Can I spend 50 hours in this?" And or 1,000 hours in this.
So some of these story games 1,000 hours? What are they shooting for, like 150 or something?
Most of the story games, like let's say Fallout 4, you could probably go from beginning to end of the main story in 15 to 20 hours if you just did that. And you really focused on that.
And I could have done this BattleTech one faster, but it seemed like you kind of want to savor the experience, you know?
Right.
Like you pay for it. You really want it to only go 20 hours?
That's what... Again, Fallout 4, for example, there's hundreds of side quests and little distractions.
Oh, that's cool. Because you get sucked into the universe. So you want to like, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that's appealing, I think, about video games is you're given an alternate reality that you get to explore.
Right.
And so you want to explore all the little possibilities in that alternate reality. It's like a voluntary Matrix experience.
So you could spend 100 hours. You could spend 100 hours in these types of games if you are thorough in exploring the world and doing side missions and exploration. You can build bases in some of them, you know, little huts and houses, and that's a whole other kind of sub-game.
The hut building sub-genre?
Yeah. Especially like some games really focus on that, you know.
They call it the hut building sub-genre?
No. Survival building or survival craft, like a game like Valheim, that the whole point of it is to gather materials.
The one I've seen
to build your house.
I've seen my kids play some with dinosaurs where you have to train the dinosaurs and you start out with nothing but a loincloth. And I'm going, interesting.
Yeah. There's a few like that.
Do I want my kids playing a game where they start out with a character that's not wearing anything but a loincloth? I guess they could be watching Netflix.
Another good one in that genre is Conan Exiles. You start with a loincloth out in the desert. There's settings where you can start with nothing on. That seems a little awkward, but
you have to find a loincloth or make one out of sagebrush?
Out of reeds of grass or something.
Hmm.
But then you can end up building these huge castles and things.
From starting with a loincloth to building a castle?
Yeah.
Can you like invent the personal computer?
No, but you can build like weapons, you know, make better weapons and armor and
like do you invent gunpowder? Or is it all about swords? Like where do you stop in the
that game? I don't think has
technology.
I don't think that game has gunpowder, but some of them you can. Some you can end up making guns,
but not PCs.
I've not
drones.
I've not played one yet. Where
not
you can
tanks
make
and
that
drones.
Kind of stuff.
You can get so far, but you cannot found Lockheed Martin or General Dynamics and become a defense contractor.
A money launderer.
You become a robber baron.
Right.
That was the end result of the hut building loincloth game.
Yeah, you end up getting contracts from the government to make weapons for the two sides that are fighting a war.
The final storyline is you foment a plan to disperse a virus amongst the people.
Mm-hmm.
As a distraction while you take control of the entire world. Mm-hmm. That's like the last quest in one of them where you started with a loincloth.
Apparently the CIA has told Zelensky to stop stealing so much of the aid money, please.
Yeah, I saw that on Zero Hedge.
But they're just kind of wagging their finger at him.
Yeah. After looking at what happened last week, I'm really thinking clown world. I mean, because that's the type of headline. Ukraine gets their billions despite CIA director reportedly warning Zelensky to stop stealing so much money.
Okay, he's literally embezzling money.
One estimate by analysts from the CIA put the embezzled funds at $400 million last year. Although there will be no professional audit reports emerging
not.
From Ukraine.
We don't get to know where all this money's
when
going.
When I see that it says 400...
If they did a
million,
professional
I say,
audit.
When it says 400 million, I'm saying that's all.
Right. When they say professional audit, or there will not be a professional audit, what they're really saying is we can't do that because then you would know that the congressmen and the senators and everybody voting for this would
you
all.
You would see where
see
the money
they're
went.
They're also stealing the money.
Yeah, you would see where the money went.
It's called laundering. Like this money doesn't even directly go to Ukraine. Some of it goes right to Lockheed Martin or Raytheon, and they build their weapons.
Most
and
of it goes there.
Sell them to Ukraine. Ukraine buys them with the money that they get from these aid packages. And the senator, you know, his stock holdings go up. His consulting fees go up. His brother-in-law, who works at Raytheon, gets a promotion.
His future job at Raytheon is further secured.
These guys just take care of themselves. This is what I mean. You probably saw the photos of, you know, everyone on in Congress waving the Ukrainian flag, and people were pointing out this is what an insurrection actually looks like. Like these people that run the government, they don't care about us.
Well, what's funny is that there's a Republican majority, right, theoretically. And I think one of the things we talked about in our prediction episodes was the term uniparty, if I remember right.
There's a uniparty majority.
The uniparty would manifest itself. And it turns out this Speaker Johnson dude is, so he's a Republican Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically siding with the Democrats to get this stuff done.
Yeah, he's...
He's just... pushing through the oligarchy's agenda, just like the last guy who was just like the last guy who was mm-hmm. just like the last lady who was just like the last guy.
Mm-hmm. There's no opposition party in Washington. There's no opposition to anything. It's just...
Well, there is, but they're an impotent opposition.
There's
they're divided.
There's like four people. There's Rand Paul and Thomas Massey, and that's about it. Maybe Hawley.
What about this green lady from the South, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene? Is she considered opposition?
I don't know. Maybe.
What about Getz from Florida?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But again, this is like single digit people.
Because Green was on record saying, is Speaker Johnson being blackmailed?
Well, yeah.
She was asking that question.
One would wonder. Blackmailed or just bought?
Or he just is purchased fully, yeah.
I mean, let's imagine that you become the Speaker of the House and somebody comes to you and says, here's the options. We'll give you $150 million quietly over the next 3 years. Or we'll release...
Or we'll find child porn on your computer.
Or we'll kill your family.
Or we'll find child porn on your computer and publicly crucify you.
Right. Or we'll find tapes of you with a couple of prostitutes in a D.C. hotel.
Where's the deepfake AI type of a defense now? Wouldn't it be easy to just say, go ahead, I'm just going to say it's deepfake, and then they'll say, well, we own the media, we'll just run it ad nauseum incessantly, and so you'll
it be... It doesn't matter. Like
you'll
once,
be character assassinated anyway.
Yeah, once it's done, it's done. I mean, look at... There's still people...
You'll lose your job, your life will be ruined anyway.
There's still people who insist that, like, the Russian dossier...
The P-Gate stuff?
There's still people who believe that's true. When it's been, there's people who believe Hunter Biden's laptop is fake.
Well, nobody talks about Hunter Biden's laptop anymore.
Right. Because you can't. Because then you'd have to acknowledge, which a lot of these idiots did. Like, well, I guess we were wrong.
So what we're saying is the Biden administration is so corrupt that everybody got... a face full, a fire hose full of it, and of this undeniable material, and then we just forgot about it for the election year.
It's not like, so much that the Biden administration's corrupt, it's that the whole apparatus is corrupt.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the
you've
whole
got like look at
party,
the new,
deep state,
look at the New York,
call it.
Look at the New York courts that are continuing to drag Donald Trump into court for things that appear to be commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Washington, D.C. and in the business world. Hush money?
Right.
What was illegal about him paying somebody to be quiet?
I don't know. I guess we should ask the people paying Mike Johnson.
Yeah. I don't know. Huh. Okay, well, there's your black pill. I'm going home.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know. I didn't pay attention to a lot of stuff this week, like I sometimes do.
What do you think about the furries at Payson High School? Payson Middle School?
They don't exist.
If you're not aware, there was a walkout at a middle school in Payson. Yes, Payson, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the students were upset that...
They've been in the news a lot, because... Kevin Bacon showed up at the Payson prom.
Yeah, they were in the news for the 40-year anniversary of Footloose.
Which is where the movie was filmed at Payson High School, and I guess the old building's getting ripped down.
Yeah, and they also filmed in Lehigh at the roller mills.
Yep.
That was the risque place just across county lines where you could have a dance.
Yeah, you'd go dance there. The famous scene of him dancing by himself.
Yeah.
That's at the roller mills.
Yeah.
But it appears that Kevin Bacon was a great sport. He came out, went to the prom, and I had heard that a lot of women in the community were insisting that their husbands take them to the Payson prom on the off chance that they could catch a glimpse of Kevin Bacon.
Well, he was pretty popular.
But yeah, the furries, they don't exist. Don't you read the news?
So to finish the thought, though, for those that are unaware, the students walked out at Payson Middle School to protest the fact that the school was letting a bunch of furries run rampant. I heard from friends, this made some local social news, right? Would you call it social media amongst fairly, the problem is you get a lot of rumors, but you also get people who are eyewitnesses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, the understanding I had from people that I think were credible is there was maybe a dozen kids down there. And then KSL, there's a dozen potential potentially up to a dozen kids at the school who are furries, which means that if the school is promoting it, they are putting out litter boxes so the kids can pee in the litter boxes and letting the kids run around acting like animals. And the right. kids that were protesting and walking out said they were sick and tired of being growled at, scratched at, sick and tired of having to deal with the litter boxes and the general chaos caused by the furries. Well, then KSL apparently posted on X, Twitter, that it was a hoax.
Well, they
nothing happened.
They wrote an entire article.
Oh, did they? We will not post that article. You're not linked
Twitter
to
headline says, "No evidence of furries in Nebo School District, despite allegations, social media firestorm."
What about the walkout?
And the videos and the photos. I replied.
Despite all the evidence?
Except for all that evidence, there's just no evidence. Like, it's just, I don't know why would KSL run cover for this? Like,
because they're ridiculous. The local Pravda.
That's true.
They're the local communist direct. They're keeping all the Mormons, the you know, the people that are really good people, but the problem is they have this ingrained, this is who we are, this is what we do. We could never be led astray. And if mm-hmm. we are, the sin will be on the heads of the leaders. Mm-hmm. That was the Nuremberg defense, guys. Mm-hmm. I was just following orders, okay? Go look up Nuremberg.
The bigger issue is with, like, furries have been around a long time.
But they're keeping
time.
Them in line. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Is it's like,
right.
if those people wake up, if they all of a sudden realize they had to make a decision and that they were accountable for their social participation outside of what the, you know, independent of what their favorite religion was telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Then there might be activity in Utah, you know? There might be a change, a shift. But go ahead, sorry.
I mean, furries have been around for a long time. Sometimes, some of these people get way into it and they buy these $1,000 suits or thousands of dollar suits. They look like a mascot almost.
Why would you do that if your kid's just going to grow out of it?
Well, I don't know that any of these kids have
that. Oh, so you're talking about adults being furries.
No, adults are. And it's a fetish. It's a weird...
Like an adult entertainment thing?
Subculture. And
is it similar to the Hut video game thing? Just kidding. I don't know.
I think it's prominent in the LGBTQ circles. And I think what you see here is all of this sort of stuff is trickling down.
So you've experimented with being a woman. You're a guy. You've experimented with being a woman for a long time, and you decide that's not titillating enough, so you decide you're going to become a dog or a cat an armadillo.
Mostly it's like...
I'm identify as an armadillo. Right.
But you see this stuff kind of becoming more and more prominent among kids because of the way the culture is shoving this stuff in everybody's faces, right? So, of course, kids that are struggling to figure out who they are, you know, they're doing the same thing. Well, maybe I'm gay. Maybe I'm bi. Maybe I'm trans. Maybe I'm a wolf. And it's like these kids aren't getting... And, of course, there's... In these cases in Payson, most likely, I would say the parents, probably the mother, is encouraging it. There's a chance the kids are kind of keeping it on the down low at home. You know, they keep their wolf ears in their backpack and in their tails. In their backpack until they get home. But I would guess that in a lot of cases, the mothers are complicit in encouraging this because, yes, this is a thing that mothers would push on their kids because I think most of this stuff, the trans stuff,
you're
comes
talking
from
about
mothers.
The liberal white women?
Yeah, the liberal white woman, the devouring mother. It's a real thing. And I ask, you know, my questions I ask are where are the men in all of this? Where are the good fathers that are putting an end to this?
Oh, they're paying for child support. I think. Did you see this? You've probably seen this one before. Check out my new car, guys. Guys are like, check out my new car, and girls are like, check out my new purse, and then the Hollywood model single mom. Star, she's saying,
check out my new trans kid. Yeah. I know people personally that are basically doing that. So proud of my tranny kid. And
so that gets into the social mind virus, you know, the social ecosystem, mental ecosystem, and then a bunch of women want to be just like that lady that they've seen on Oprah or whatever, and now they have a trans kid too, or a furry kid.
I mean, we went to high school, we know, in junior high, we know that there's cliques and kids kind of go through different, you know, identity crises. Every high school's got their little groups, right? You got the jocks that hang out together, and you got the theater kids, and you got the band kids, and you got the computer science kids, and you got the, you know, the skaters and the cowboys. Like, nothing changes in high school. It's funny how, like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like, these little cliques, they're all the same as they always were. And that's just part of growing up. But now you've got some new ones in there. You've got, like, the trans kids and the furries, and you've got these things that are far more devious and sinister than just, oh, I think I'm, you know, my friend group likes punk music and skateboarding, so I'll dress like a skater. Yeah.
By the way, it was Mount Nebo Junior High, and the DailyMail.co.uk reports that the Utah school where pupils dressed as animals that have been allegedly scratching and biting other students has now been hit with a bomb threat.
I'm sure.
So the story continues.
Probably from the reporter that wrote that garbage at KSL.
The Nebo School District has been trying to dispel claims about the student protest. But yeah, I don't.
This could all be avoided if we just taught kids the truth. And when they show up wearing a wolf tail and ears to school, the school says, and the teachers say, no, not at school.
Well, they used to do that.
Put that away. You're distracting the other students.
That happened when I went to school.
Yeah, and when they don't do it, you call their parents down and say, your student's wearing a tail to school, and it's a distraction to other students.
It was reasonably strict.
Right.
I think the bigger story here, because that we know has been going on, just the whole trans thing demonstrates that the segments of society have lost their collective mind. But the bigger story here is KSL going to get away with just saying, no, there's nothing to see here?
Well, of course, who's going to hold them accountable?
Right. Meanwhile, the big story is that Payson High School got Kevin Bacon out, and he finally relented and decided to come after they persistently bothered him, and the governor even invited him to come out. Whatever. We're blinded by celebrity, right? That we're Americans are easily distracted, attracted to bright, shiny objects.
Well, especially Utah, you've called us the Me Too state.
Yeah.
So a celebrity acknowledges something in the state, we lose our minds. And I think that, you know, Kevin Bacon coming out is fine. It's just a fun thing. It seems like, I mean, he's a good actor, so maybe he just put on a happy face. I don't know if he was paid.
Oh, that's the thing, right? He is an actor.
Right. So he's going to act like he likes being there and acts like he cares about Payson High School. And maybe on some level he does. I mean, that movie made him a star, but Payson High School had nothing to do with it. It just was a location.
Yeah, I don't think he cares about Utah or Payson High School. I think it was just a step on the ladder, a very low step. It was the first step.
It got him a lot of goodwill.
Yeah, he may be more excited about the movie Tremors. I mean,
he does seem
like he embraces whatever it is that makes him popular. Like, he has a charity called 6 Degrees, which is playing off of the pop culture meme idea that everybody in a movie is somehow related to Kevin Bacon in a movie.
Now, you could do that. I don't know why.
Six steps away, right?
I don't know why it got...
There's a lot of possibilities.
Well, and you could do it with any actor that's been in Hollywood for a few years, right?
Yeah. Anybody that's been in a lot of movies is probably related to most other actors and actresses via 6 or 7 degrees.
Right. But no, nobody's going to hold KSL accountable. I mean, maybe more people will see that and kind of wake up to what KSL is. But, I mean, so?
No, nothing to see here, you know?
Right. It's not like the next step is to go protest up at the Triad Center where KSL is located and, you know, demand that they stop being propagandists and communists. Like, they're not going to do that. They have their marching orders.
Well, there's too many. It is a carpet bombing, right? There's too many other fires. Mm-hmm. There's too many other things to worry about. Like our lawmakers, first of all. This year's an election year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, do we know who's running for Mitt Romney's seat?
Yeah, there's some people. I don't know them personally. Or
are they mini Mitts?
I haven't looked into that enough yet. I probably should, but I haven't
even
yet.
Oh, man, I'm trying not to be too depressed, but does it even matter? Like,
no, it doesn't. It honestly, it
can
doesn't.
Can you make a difference? Because you're supposed to try, right? The noble thing is to try to make a difference. And when you see, you know, we have a Republican majority, we theoretically, Donald Trump won the last election, you know? If you look at all the legitimate claims of election fraud, that should have been something rectifiable, fixable.
Well, but it yet, is.
But yet in the last 4 years, all we've done is just normalized corruption, right? It's like, yeah, Joe Biden took showers with his daughter, and we've sent gazillions of dollars to Ukraine, and his son is a crackhead that's made deals with our favorite enemies. So they've peddled all this influence, and they've taken money from China. We have the canceled checks, right? Didn't the Congress put forth the canceled checks? They put copies of the checks on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we have a Republican majority, they still haven't filed articles of impeachment. They did against Mayorkas, the head of border control. What's he like?
Homeland Security.
So he's in charge of the border.
Yeah, but
and
those
the Senate just swiftly said, "Yeah, we're not going to hold a trial."
There's no accountability.
So you have a situation where it's okay. You lost the election. It's like just sit back and take it, right?
How many people have been
just
held accountable?
Relax and take it. You're going to get. How many people have
been held accountable for their COVID actions? Right. The only people that have ever been held accountable were like preachers who opened their churches. Like Burks and Fauci are still out there making lots of money. All these health weirdos, you know, state epidemiologists and stuff are not being held accountable. Governors. There's no mechanism for it. There's no mechanism for accountability in this country. Like voting people out doesn't really do anything.
I guess we'll find. I think that the silent majority is thinking this next election is going to solve that, right? Are we just 2 years early? Are we like on our thinking here? Because we're looking at it now, going, yeah, it's bad. It's pretty obvious. But is the central, you know, middle left, middle right, the people who haven't lost their minds yet, and I don't like the political spectrum because I think it's totally rigged between two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at it as a line, it's between two statist ideas, right? Spend more money, take your rights as a Republican versus spend more money, take your rights and go literally insane as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And so somewhere in the middle of that is good. No, but if those people that still live in that mindset that think, oh, the independent road is the best road, are they going to make some sort of an effort to get the vote out for sanity this year, and then they're going to find that it's the same thing in 2020, the end of 2025, early 2026, right? Because you're going to have this whole circus going on during 2024, and then there's that brief period of transition between the election and Inauguration Day, right, where there's not a lot going on except vilification of people like the January 6 people, right? Vilification of Trump. That's what happened last time. So maybe we'll have some confusion over the vote. I don't know. It looks to me like they might just say Joe Biden wins in a landslide and call it good. But or Donald Trump gets in, but nothing materially changes by 2026, and then finally the central portion of the central majority, the silent majority, whatever, wakes up and says, "Oh, everybody else was right. This is broken."
I think the problem is
voting doesn't work.
To really create change, you have to do things that make everybody uncomfortable. And people don't want to do that. People don't want to revolt. Right? I don't mean violence necessarily, but people don't want to change their lifestyles. Like you would need to really change your lifestyle, you as in all of us as a society, to make changes. We'd have to become activists. We'd have to engage in mass civil disobedience. Yes, we'd have to vote these people out and then have the stomach to not just vote them out, but to hold them accountable in court. You know, it'd mean putting a lot of people in jail. It'd mean.
Well, I think they've tried that, but they've been stymied by the corrupt courts.
I mean, sort of.
There have been a lot of COVID lawsuits filed that are just stuck in process.
Right, and it would mean getting those judges and throwing them in jail.
So it would mean voting them out.
It would mean a massive revolution. In
everybody would have to do something, but they're too busy earning money to pay for their $17 hamburger at JCW's.
Right, or watching Netflix or playing games, as we've talked about, or yeah. Just thinking
drowning their sorrows in their favorite video game,
or just thinking it'll all work out. You know, well, you know, the pendulum always swings; it'll work out, and the pendulum is only swinging one way, and that's towards fewer rights and liberties for the regular people. I mean, you sent me a article today about was that in the UK where the guy was being threatened with arrest for being openly Jewish, for just standing on the street with a little Jewish hat on.
Yeah, that was
near a
Palestinian protest, and right. He was walking with them and filming himself. That was part of what they were saying is, well, you're provoking this by being here and filming.
They said it was provocative to be Jewish.
You're openly Jewish.
Right. Now he's got every right in the world to be there and to film himself. It doesn't matter that, you know, the people there were hurling insults at him. It was offensive for him just to exist there.
Well, the British police guys, they actually made some attempt at apologizing, which went bad.
Then they had to apologize for the apology.
Yeah, and then they had to apologize for that. But I mean, they and the Jews, they are, you know, they've traditionally been the people that have been able to claim persecution, right? And get they're the ones that are able to turn the tide on stuff like this.
Right.
So that's what makes this really interesting. The headline is: "You are quite openly Jewish." The London police are under fire for confrontation with a man near an anti-Israeli march. This was Jonathan Turley, the mm-hmm. constitutional scholar. So this isn't like some Joe Blow nobody respects talking about this. In recent weeks, we've seen a new trend emerge, with those opposed to the main protests appearing along the route to express their views. That's a new trend? This is the Metropolitan Police. The fact that those who do this often film themselves while doing so suggests they must know that their presence is provocative. That they're inviting a response and that they're increasing the likelihood of an altercation. So the Metropolitan Police is saying that stay home, shut up, let it happen. These people, the ones that are the most violent and yell the loudest get to take the public square.
Well, really, it's not just the ones that yell the most. It's the ones that yell the most in favor of the preferred cause. Right now, it's out of style to be pro-Israel, except for if you're in Congress, right?
Listen to this. You are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian march. I'm not accusing you of anything. But wait a minute. He just told him he was quite openly right. Jewish. He accused him of being Jewish. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to your presence. And then another officer added later, you will be escorted, listen to this carefully, you will be escorted out of this area so that you can go about your business, go where you want freely.
Right. Except
or if you choose to remain here because you are causing a breach of the peace with all these other people, you will be arrested.
Yeah, he's the one causing the breach of peace.
Because you are quite openly Jewish.
We're descending into a... It's almost like it's a clown world, but it's a dark circus, right? It's like an... You know, I saw a tweet a few weeks ago. There was a farming club type of a thing, but it was only for black people.
Okay.
Someone said, when you're so woke that only the black people get to pick the cotton. And it's like, we're descending backwards into this world where segregation is cool, right? Racial segregation is super hot right now. Like black only spaces, white only spaces.
Yeah.
And there's this idea like, yeah, the woke, the mind virus is literally bringing back horrible things that those same people claim to be, you know, against, like segregation or Jim Crow or slavery or racial, you know, just anything that everything and anything is racist except actual racism. Like, it's racist to be good at math. It's racist to have a wife and children and go to church on Sunday and sing the hymns, but it's not racist to have cotton fields that only black people are allowed to go pick cotton. Or it's not racist to say that because of your race, you're inherently violent or...
Structurally racist. You're
right.
You're systemically... racist. You can't help but be it because of your color, the color of your skin.
Right.
That's not racist. Yeah, it's worse than the way it was put in Isaiah, where he says evil's good, good's evil. It's like literally reality is being inverted. And people seem to love it. I don't know. It is a clown world. Well, anyway, what do you want to talk about today? I don't know how to segue here into something interesting, but we seem to be quickly devolving into a strange, like, a comical dystopia.
Here's the headline from the dailymail.com, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. UC Berkeley accused of systemic racism after banning white people from California Community Farm, co-owned by the university, on Saturdays. And then somebody on Twitter named the Redhead Libertarian says, when you're so woke that you only let the black folk pick the cotton.
I'll put a link up to that one. You can read that at your leisure.
But yeah, I don't have anything like burning, you know, nothing that I got to get off my chest or anything today.
Me neither. Should call it good?
Yeah, yeah, I guess we could call it for the day. And
well, we'd love to get some more listener feedback. What are some things you're interested in talking about that don't require any preparation or forethought? You seen any good movies lately? Did you see the latest Dune installment?
No, I need to.
I want to go see that. I'm wondering if it's worth seeing in the theaters. I've heard it hasn't. It wasn't as good as the first one. Still probably pretty good.
I've heard the opposite. I've heard it's really good.
Really?
Yeah. I just haven't. I mean, Dune's a bit of an acquired taste.
Maybe it's heard it from somebody who heard it from a girl.
Heard it from a friend who. But I like the Dune stories, and
it's getting an 8.7 on IMDb.
I just haven't made the time to go to the theater. Why go to the theater when I can play video games at home? There is a Dune video game coming out, like a survivor builder where you build your hut and stuff.
Mm.
And it looks like it's going to be pretty
good. You have to keep moving it because of worms?
I don't know. But it looks like it's going to be pretty good. I think it's called Dune Awakening.
It's another really good movie about giant worms that Kevin Bacon was in.
Tremors.
Yes.
All-time classic. And there's like 9 of them now.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Bacon was only in the first 2. But the Family Ties dad, I can't ever remember his name. He's in all of them.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
The prepper dude?
Yeah. He was married to Reba McEntire.
You broke into the wrong rec room.
Yeah, such a great scene. I can't even get into penetration with the elephant gun.
And then they widen the zoom and you see even more guns and then more guns. Yeah, it's awesome. That's the rec room scene. I'll have to find a clip of that to put on the website.
The original Tremors is like an integral part of my childhood. One of the things we would do as a kid on Friday night, you'd arranged to go to someone's house, right? Sometimes it was your own house. Sometimes it was a friend's house.
Arranged to go to my house.
And sometimes you'd sleep over, right? Sometimes not, but you'd beg your mom, like, you know, can we order some pizza? Can we go get a video? Can we go rent a video?
Can we rent a video? Yeah.
And so we would.
VHS tape.
We would run down there. We'd get, you know, driven down there. Maybe we could go over to the grocery store and get some treats. We'd order pizza, and then we'd go pick out the game or the video. And if you had to go early in the day to get the hot videos.
Oh yeah, because
right?
Everybody else is getting them.
Because there's only maybe 10 or 12 of the new release. But we often, you know, our default, if we couldn't get the one that we were looking for, we would get
Tremors.
Tremors, yeah. And I probably watched that 30 times, 40 times. You know, during my junior high years, I could still quote a lot of that movie. I mean, it's a all-time classic. If you've never seen it, you've got to watch it. I haven't seen it in a long time. We need to go watch it again and see if it holds up.
Burt Gummer. Michael Gross is the actor, right?
Yeah, that's the Family Ties dad.
He says... Broke into the wrong GD rec room, didn't you? Blankety blank.
Yeah, Reba McEntire's in the movie. Kevin Bacon, of course.
She plays his wife.
Yeah. Just hit me, Earl. Stampede.
Yeah, that's you got to be in the right mood to watch that one. That's good.
Cult classic
good movie
for
about
sure.
Giant worms. We, my brothers and sisters were watching that movie, and my mom walked in and said, "What are you watching?" I say, "We're watching Tremors." "Oh, what's it about?" "Oh, it's about a bunch of giant worms that are eating people from underneath and out in the desert." And she's like, "Oh, come on. What's it really about? What are you watching?"
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense in that sense. It's like this little town out in the desert of Nevada or something.
Oh, it's a total cult classic for sure.
Yeah, it's classic.
Whitaker would want us to mention the Sharknado series. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have seen some of those.
Whitney, what did he change his name to?
The Sharknado. The difference between Sharknado and Tremors is somewhat plausible, as ridiculous as it is. Compared to Sharknado, it's plausible.
Okay, hold on a second. Here, Whitaker changed his name to Whisker, by the way. So yeah, I think he's adopting the furry. He's become a furry.
Wow.
Maybe he's become a she, and he's a furry feline cat, a feminine cat. But yeah, he would want us to mention Sharknado. But you just said that Tremors was more So you're saying it's more likely that there will be giant worms that can cruise through solid earth at high speeds than tornadoes made of sharks? I've never seen the Sharknado
you
got, stuff.
Once
but
you
my,
see Sharknado,
my understanding
you'll understand
is that there's
that I'm
tornadoes
right.
with sharks. Am I far off here?
Kind of. Yeah, like, no, you're,
it's
you're,
not,
you're,
it's not.
That's pretty like much it.
Sharks,
but there's
in,
like,
sharks in the air. Sharks
it becomes.
Flying
it's so over the top absurd, which is the fun of it, right? But yeah, it's so over the top that it makes Tremors look like it could be realistic.
Okay. What are some movies, because we have a few movies that in our family that we pull out that are just so, they were intended to be serious, but they're just so terrible that they're funny. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
There was one my dad really liked called, with Gina Davis, I think it was called Pirate Island. Let's see if I can find that.
Another movie that was like a staple in our house growing up. This wasn't one that was serious, but bad, so it was funny. This was just a great movie. It was Man from Snowy River.
Oh, I love that movie.
Watch that.
That's great.
Every Sunday, I'd put that on.
Cutthroat Island is the one with Gina Davis.
Yeah, I know.
It's hilarious. There's like this, just this nonstop chase scenes with her. Mm-hmm. Just flippantly destroying all the pirates, you know. And you get that a lot nowadays. We've normalized this idea that little ladies, little girl, I don't want to say little girls because they're not girls, but women who are petite,
mm-hmm,
are able to just take down the biggest guys.
Right.
When the laws of physics just go out the window. Like, right. they do these awesome martial arts moves on them. They'll like get up, jump up on the top, wrap their legs around them, and bring them down to the ground. And it's like, look at the physics of that. That right. guy would not, you wouldn't be able to make him lose his balance even.
Right.
Because there's just not enough force. But Gina Davis was in this movie, Cutthroat Island, which is kind of like that, but it's even less believable. So it's really funny to watch. You know, plus all the dialogue and everything. But there was a movie called Dragon Wars that was kind of comical. That I think it was intended to be serious. Did you ever see that?
Uh-uh. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, a guy in the neighborhood, he built a really awesome studio, like with incredible sound and great video, and he invited us over to watch it because somebody had told him it had great sound and visuals, and we were all just laughing our heads off by the end of it. So it was a fun inaugural home theater right. movie. Dragon Wars. Let's see, when was that?
That's another way we've sort of devolved as a society. It used to be a big deal, like to get a big screen TV with great sound.
2007.
And now the technology is awesome. You can literally have a home theater that rivals like the Cinemark.
Yeah.
And we consume most of our media on a little 3-inch screen in the palm of our hand.
Yeah, it's affordable. You can.
Right.
You can. Like, it's a small investment, but you could get like the technology that was available 6 or 7 years ago is like out of sight. So you don't have to pay full price for the latest and greatest. You can still get this incredible home theater for a couple grand probably.
But instead.
But you'd rather watch it on your phone.
We're watching it on phones because we're lazy.
I don't know. I hate watching stuff on my phone, so I don't do it.
I try not to. I try at least to use the iPad. It's a little bigger. But if there's something I'm really into, I watch it on the bigger TV or sometimes the computer. All right, I think I'm done for the day.
Yeah, your voice is conking out on us here. Well, anyway, how about this? Let's get a listener poll of what your favorite movies are that they had intended to be serious, but they just turned out to be funny and fun.
Okay, so like The Testaments? Wait, what? That's not what I said.
Was this the one where the actors were painted brown? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. You got Bobby's first vote.
I didn't say anything. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening today.
Thanks for listening, and we will probably be back next week.
Yeah, maybe we should get some listeners to come on and provide color commentary.
I don't know if we ever said the date, but it's April 22nd today.
By the way, this is the Mind Virus show.
That's Jordan Bruno.
That's right.
You knew all that.
Yeah. I'm sitting across from Bobby Flood, and you can find us on the web at http://www.mindvirus.show. And we'd love to hear your comments. If you're still listening at this point, you probably deserve a t-shirt, but I don't think I feel like making one for you. But post anyway. We need to do a t-shirt contest, not a wet t-shirt contest. A contest, I know, because I could see that was what you were thinking.
It was.
We need to do a contest where, like our last writing contest, but one that doesn't require as much effort from the listeners.
Right.
So we can get more than one winner.
Okay.
Or more than one entry, excuse me. But give away another t-shirt. That'd be fun.
Okay.
We got to think about that. So you guys let us know what you think the t-shirt contest should be. I think our one of one t-shirts have probably appreciated in value. They're probably worth at least four times what you guys paid for them. Maybe 10 times, maybe 100 times.
I agree.
What
I
you
agree.
Paid for them. So that is, in an inflationary environment, that is one of those inflation-proof type of investments that a person can invest in. So I would think you guys would be interested in giving us some ideas for contests so that you could get another one of those t-shirts. So let us know what you think we should do to infuse some excitement into our podcast here, considering the depraved, dilapidated, degenerate, devolved, what are some other bad D words? Discombobulated state of the clown world.
Demonic.
Demoralized. Yeah, demonic, demoralized. All of that. State of the world that we're living in. Let's have some fun.
All right.
All right. See you later.
Next time.